Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, Charm fan? We are covering episode 11, Witch Perfect. We have some Jerry Springer DNA reveal. We have a demonic maestro, and we have some acapella drama. There's so much to break down in this episode, and we're going to do it right now, so don't go away.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're forming our new acapella group with Maggie, you guys. Welcome. Yes. We're breaking down Witch Perfect. I love that title. I love when they find a way to bring in the witch puns. Yes, I can't get enough of it.
It's nice.
Before we break this all down, I'm Steph Sabraw. I'm joined by the one and only Kamisha Latour.
Hi, guys.
But next week, we will have Kelly back with us. Some power of three for sure. For this episode, we're going to be breaking down the whole bomb drop, the DNA reveal via Macy, Maggie and the Hilltones, and kind of her new group that she's joining, and the maestro and where he got this relic, this pipe. And then we will get into Mel and Jada, and then Harry, and kind of where his plot line is leading to. We don't really know. We find out some tidbits. And then obviously I know a lot of you guys from the chat saw the commercial for next episode, so we're gonna have to weigh in our thoughts on that after we get into our special segment, which will be our OG Charm breakdown. So we will break down the coinciding episode. So it'll be episode 11 of OG Charmed. Kamisha will take the reins on that, and then we will get into our predictions. So before we break down per topic, what was your overall thoughts of this episode?
Overall thoughts, I do think the season is getting better. I enjoyed, there were a lot of different things. The ending obviously was sad on Harry's part. Aside from that, I do think, I feel like the actors are finding more of their place in the show. Like, I feel like they're really getting into the character, and it's getting better.
I agree. I think that this episode was actually directed by Gina Rodriguez,
awesome.
Kind of like the queen of CW right now. but I think that she did a good job of weighing in on the character's personality more and playing to like Maggie's emotional abilities on screen and the portrayal of. She's a good crier.
Yes.
But I think that the show is trying to find the balance of magic and then also the sister bond and the drama between the family and trying to find out the secrets. This episode, I think, was a little less magic and a little more character driven, which is okay. That's not a bad thing, but it was an interesting use of the monster of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But so we started with the bomb drop. And this was really funny because this was a great way of separating the real way I think the characters would react to this situation. Macy led with logic and just came out with this DNA reveal and was like, yeah, that's the science of it, the DNA. And they were, Macy, Maggie and Mel were like, what the heck? I'm curious, what was your opinion of Mel's reaction and Maggie's reaction?
At first I thought Mel's reaction was a little overboard, because she just started thinking that her mom was like a compulsive liar, and like, why was she hiding all these things from her? But then I started to get it. And I think from like personal experience of like learning like secrets within my own kind of like growing up and learning secrets, from my family,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That I reacted in ways like that, but also we forget that sometimes people do things to in their mind is protecting the child. And in my mind, I thought it was just like they didn't care about me.
Yeah.
But that's just their word, protecting. So I understood Mel's reaction. With Maggie, I felt for her too. It's sad. Yes, it does seem from her looking from outside in that all the guys are abandoning her. But again, like I don't know. Maybe her father was trying to come see her. We still don't know that story, but something is standing in the way of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because they say our lives, well, Mel says our lives are not data that you can arrange so that it makes sense. And I agree, but across in real life and in every show, there's always massive issues when family members don't tell the truth, mm-hmm. and they keep it in. And it's happened in Charmed specifically, where when they didn't tell each other what was happening, it got worse. So although I think Macy's delivery wasn't great, because she does lead with logic and she thinks by logic and what seems to make sense, it had to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Not before an audition, though. I would have hated that.
Yeah.
Any major tryout would have not liked that. So I think Macy can work on her delivery.
Macy's just, she's an awkward character. Like, her personality is awkward. And she kind of reminds me of me in a sense where it's like, I wouldn't know how to say it. It's like, I would come up yeah. with, like, so many different ways of how can I deliver this? And then the minute my mouth opens, it would just be a completely opposite of what I rehearsed. So she, like, reminded me of me. So I don't blame her.
That's so funny. Yeah. I love that. I'm curious what you guys thought about that in the chat. But before we get into our next topic, Kamisha had yes. something to say to you wonderful people.
Yes, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we need your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit the thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so that you can join in on the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to us, and we truly love coming here and being able to talk about the shows that we love. And we just want to say thank you for supporting us. So be sure to tell your friends and continue to come back to hear more about your shows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Be a part of our panel. Yes. We love your opinions. Right now, I'm really loving the talk about the budget, because there was episodes added, so they think that some of the less magic-driven plot lines are because there wasn't as much money given
really?
To it.
It's crazy. Weirdly, I kind of like that it wasn't so heavy on
magic.
Because to a degree, I feel like it can, the past few episodes could seem like a little forced with
yeah.
the monsters.
It's almost, though, to me, it should have been done earlier. Like, we kept saying in the beginning, they kept rushing the plot lines between the sisters. Like, Macy instantly moved in. Like, I needed more character yeah. depth in the beginning.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it's bad now, but it seems kind of, it wasn't planned as well as I would like.
I agree. And I don't want to compare anything, but I think that's what drew me a lot to the original, because we had so much
oh,
time
yeah.
with getting to know the sisters.
Yeah.
So I hope this can happen for mm-hmm. this Charmed.
Yeah, I agree completely. So, like I said, Maggie was going to try out for the Hilltones, and she's practicing with a cover of Walking on Sunshine. But then when she goes to the audition, she's crying, and she still sounds amazing, but it's so interesting because the maestro loved it. Did you think that at the time I should have known by the title that this was going to play heavily into the whole episode and from the beginning intro, which we will get into, of the maestro going to Greece? But I didn't really know how they were gonna fully develop that mm-hmm. into the monster of the week.
Yeah, same. I didn't see it coming from him.
But it's interesting because we get Lucy, who is the Kappa president there, and they kind of hashed out some of their issues and bonded on the family drama. Do you think Lucy's going to be a part of the season more? They keep bringing her back.
I think so. I don't know why. I mean, I think it would just make sense to just get, have. She's probably going to be more of Mel's friend, Maggie's friend. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe what the network is, or what the show producers are trying to do, is give us more into Lucy and for us to build a sort of like bond to her. Mm-hmm. Maybe she will be more in the season.
I know, it's interesting. I'm curious because I think she does provide a lot of comic relief in this weird way. But she's not, like in the original, there's very rare cases where outside people really make it. It's usually like loved ones, yeah. family members. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And Maggie keeps dealing with so much personal drama, and I understand that going to school and doing different things, like I played sports in college, and when you hear really serious news, it's really hard to get past it and to perform. And we know that now in our positions, yeah. like you cannot bring stuff into your practice. Not. So good for her. She was crying through the first part, but at least music is a place where you can express emotion True. Like that.
it worked for her.
Macy, though, dropped another bomb because she went in. That was a really cool spell where she wanted to find out all the secrets that had been kept regarding the fathers in the situation. And she found letters that said that Dexter Vaughn knew all about Maggie and their parents were in love the entire time. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. So we're going to definitely find out more, but was this even more surprising? We found out last episode that their dads are the same, but it seems like there keeps being a deeper, deeper secret. So I get why Macy's forcing it.
Yeah. And I still want to figure out when did Mel happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't. And also in that scene, that also stood out to me, was the fact that she was casting this spell or coming up with this spell in front of Galvin. Like, I'm still not used to Galvin just like knowing that she's a witch and her being able to use her spells and all that in front of him. It's cool though, like he's husband material.
I love that Harry was getting defensive about that. It was so funny. Was but really he's funny. About that life.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the main part, the maestro. We first see him as a music teacher played by Jamie Kimmel, who's also in Jane the Virgin. Oh. So he's worked with Gina Rodriguez before. He enters this antique shop in Greece, and he's quickly drawn to this pitch pipe sitting on display. And then when the shopkeeper leaves, he plays it, and obviously something happens. He's possessed by this demon trapped into a pipe. And I just thought that this teacher played that innocent role and then switched so well.
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did. And he played the maestro really well too. I love the way he played that character.
And the more it got developed, he with the lead singer of the group, the kind of did you ever watch Glee?
I've seen an episode.
Oh, okay.
But it did remind me a lot of Glee.
Yeah, there's the main character that is the one who always thinks that she deserves the lead. And so that the main girl on this singing group in particular reminded me of her. But she finds out she didn't get the lead because she isn't dark enough, I guess, for the role. Maggie was really portraying what he wanted, and we later find out why. But when she was in the office, I was like, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But at this point, I was like, I did not think that she was dead. I thought it was a soul trapping type thing.
I thought she was dead.
You did?
And then I forgot about her. Yeah. And then when she woke back up, and I was like, oh, okay, she wasn't dead.
Yeah, I'm glad she... So we find out the director who was possessed essentially is the conductor behind Sirens. And this goes back to Greek mythology, which makes sense why this relic was found in Greece. I love this. And this is the second time, I think, or maybe a few more times this season that we've had Greek mythology play into the characters and the monsters of the week. Actually, well above the second time, because we also had Tartarus, which was had some similar plot lines. But I love that it wasn't just... He wasn't just a siren. They took it a step further and was like, no, I'm the powerful one that never gets credit. Yeah. Did you ever learn about sirens?
I probably did, but me in history.
Mainly my siren knowledge comes from the Freeform show Siren, which is basically mermaids who are called sirens who lure people to their death by songs. So it makes sense that he would be playing this really deep tone of music. And they find out, according to the Book of Shadows, that the demonic pipe belonged to the sirens from ancient Greece. Who have an affinity for something called the Devil's Tritone, which actually this is where Galvin played into the role even better because his family was from New Orleans and he knew the tone of the chord. And that was great way of putting Galvin into the plot line because I'm like, why is he there? How is he going to be helpful for this? But when we get to that singing scene, Maggie tried to stop him herself, but I knew that it never works out. It's so hard for them in the beginning, I think. Their powers just aren't strong enough to be able to do something alone yet.
Yeah, and I think that's just something we're getting used to. It's like at first when they try to do it, it just doesn't work, and there's just always another way around it.
I loved that they were singing Killing Me Softly.
Me too. I love that song.
And they were literally killing everyone. Yes. What a cool shot, though, of the audience being, like, with the heads and the flip. It was so creepy.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh. That was a really good way for a low-budget trick.
Yeah.
Like, that just took choreography by the people playing those roles. And then Macy finally comes because we find out Harry, because of Tartarus, isn't strong enough to get everyone to the location. And I love the ability for her again to use that science language and figure out that it's the chord and the arrangement of the music and it needed a remix.
You gotta love Macy for her to be able to figure this all out.
Yeah. Well, they really need each other all together. And that's where we find out the device is actually trapping bodies, and meaning that the real Mr. Miranda and Effie, the girl who wants the main role, aren't actually dead. So this is where the power of three was necessary. But I actually really like that it originally didn't work because they still had their drama to work out.
Yeah, I love how I did enjoy that part too, and how they were just confessing to everything. And then Maggie, and it was just like, oh, now I'm good.
I know. It's so funny when there's no other situation like that in real life where you're under like a time constraint to be like, we have to forgive each other right now. Exactly. So let's talk it out.
Unless it's like a really important event, of like family event, and you guys have to like work it out.
Oh, Nas in the chat. What's up? He said, Steph, the actress that portrays Effie was in Pitch Perfect 2 and 3. Her oh. and the acapella is why the episode is called Witch Perfect. Holla! Wow. Great piece of information. She looked so familiar, but I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 3.
I haven't seen it either.
I've seen 2, but I have not seen 3. That's awesome. Because she was really funny. I wouldn't mind seeing... I actually wouldn't mind... I would way rather the Hilltones be Maggie's B-plot as opposed to Kappa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Kappa, I mean, it's cool, but sororities get annoying. And I think that it'd be fun to see a singing arrangement every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
I was just thinking that she really is trying to find her place. Like, with going to Kappa and now in the Hilltones. It reminds me a lot of college where you're trying to discover, like, more of who you are and you're trying all these different groups. I don't think it'll be the last. She'll probably be in another group.
It's so true. I think all of them are going to go through such different life curves of what they're interested in because now they have this identity of being a witch that they're not going to be stuck to one thing. And at the end of the day, their witch life comes first.
Exactly.
And the sisters. Finally, when they forgive each other, they're able to banish the demon, which was my favorite line from Galvin. He's like, did I just banish my first demon?
Galvin's funny.
He is. He's really growing on me.
Yeah, he is.
I love him and Macy together. What do you guys think about Galvin and Macy? Do you ship them? Are we shipping them? Let us know in the chat right now. And let's go to Mel and Jada. This was kind of why Mel was held up for a little bit because I'm like, where the heck are you, Mel? Yeah. It's just Macy and Maggie fighting this demon. But she's with Jada and the relationship's moving pretty fast. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's moving very fast. The fact that she had to go or she decided to go to Jada to pretty much express how she's feeling and with everything she's dealing with. That was the first person she ran to. So it's moving pretty quick. I still don't know what I think or how to feel about Jada just yet because I still don't know if the Circanas are an actual, if they're really
between good. The elders and the Circanas, someone's lying about something.
Yes, exactly.
And I really want to find that out.
Yeah.
I would love, like I said, last episode, more Circana and elder history.
Yes, we need that.
We need, because that's deep, that's rich, and that brings a historical background to the show that would deepen the plot.
For sure.
And make us more invested.
And I think we're just seeing Jada, and I just want to know more of, like now we hear about her parents are probably, like, worried about her. Mm-hmm. So, like, I do hope we get to see more of her, like, life.
Definitely. So she told her about why she joined the Circana and Jada was like, we have an empath. I know, but I'm glad you're telling me now, which was cool. And then Nico resurfaced again. And this is kind of what will play into our predictions, I suppose. But she finds out again that she's a private investigator and she's looking into Jada on the behalf of Jada's parents or loved ones who think she joined a cult. And this is, I'm curious who they are, and that just makes Jada's background more mysterious.
Exactly.
And
that just makes me question if Jada is part of the Circanas, and this is probably something that maybe they talked about in the series, but are the Circanas actually, like, kind of like witches? Because then the parents must be. In a sense, or her mom or her dad must be a witch. Mm. And the fact that they think she's joining this cult and they're sending a PI.
Yeah.
A mortal.
Dane Price in the chat says, I think Jada was adopted.
Oh, that's a good theory.
I have no idea with Jada.
That could just be the case and that solves.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. What was really my favorite part about this scene, though, is that they're on like this mission to get this typical perv predator, and this guy, this horrible human, was acquitted by a judge on his charges because he didn't want to ruin his promising future. This was a great way for Charm to intertwine things that are happening and have been happening in society in a seamless way. Mm-hmm. I think that they announced the season under the premise that this would be happening a lot more than it has, and I've looked forward to this. But it has to be done in the right way, or yeah. else it can be forced and annoying. I think this was done in a right way, and I would like to see more like realistic society things coming into the show a yeah. little bit more, because this in particular is so true. We've seen it with Brock Turner and many other sexual people who do sexual assault and rapists and all that disgusting mm-hmm. behavior. We see oftentimes, especially with white men, where they're acquitted by the judge on the premise that their future is more important than the frickin' victim. Mm-hmm. And they totally get him. And Jada does some magic spell yeah. where he has to be he's holding onto the cup and can't let go.
By the way, I loved her growl.
Yeah. You did? I was going to ask you, did you like that part?
It was like, I don't know. It was cool. I just thought it was just her just being badass.
What did you think about that scene in general?
Me speaking from a logic standpoint, I didn't think it was the right way for her to go about with solving that issue. Because, I mean, that could have ended up, you know, going a whole different way. And that's just me being logic. But I love that she was standing up for that girl and, you know, hunting him down mm-hmm. for all his past, like,
I like crimes. That, too. But it's true. From a logic standpoint, that even though it's her glass, I don't know what he could be charged mm-hmm. on, because he could say like he didn't know. I don't know if the evidence you can actually prove that he was going to do that exactly. unless there was cameras. So it might not have been the best way to get justice yeah. now, as yeah. she said in her spell. So I don't know. We'll see. But it does show deeper insight into what Jada is about
yes.
and what she stands for, mm-hmm. which is exactly aligned with what Mel stands for.
True.
And lastly, and we do know that Nico gives Mel her number. But lastly, Harry, just touching on quickly, he's been like feverishly jotting down notes behind a pillow and is like recording them. I don't know what that's about. But then he tells Charity that he doesn't think he's fit to watch over them anymore, which I will be so pissed about.
I know. I love Harry, and I say this every show, but I really do love his character, and I think he adds, like, he brings a balance to the show, like, balance amongst the girls in a sense of, like, we have the witches, but also we have this guy that is able to guide them rather than not be, you know, because they're new witches. A lot of different.
They need
yeah. his guidance. And his character alone, I just love so much. I think he brings a lot to the show that I would hate to see him leave. And maybe he's not going to leave entirely, and it's just he's just taking a step back. But I think him jotting down the notes is because he was recalling the memories, and I think he's trying to like put all the pieces together.
I know. I get that he's weak right now, but you also have access. Elders, do something. Sarkana, do something. We need to figure something out because yeah. I think he can heal. I do not think that this means that his powers are erased. I think he's just really injured right now.
I think he's injured, but also distraught in a way. Because you think you know yourself, you think you're the certain type of person for so long, and then you have these horrible memories of you that you actually did a lot of like horrible things in mm-hmm. the past, and now you're just totally like screwed up in the head. So I think that's what he's dealing with, and he just can't seem to get over the fact that he's actually not this really innocent person.
Yeah, I don't know. I really am curious when we find out more. But we'll see. I would just be so pissed if he wasn't involved in the rest of the Same. Season, because I think he has such a good dynamic and chemistry with the sisters.
Yes.
But let's get into our special segment.
Yes.
Oh. This is where we, just if you guys are new to our after show, this is where we break down the coinciding episode of the Charmed original. So this will be episode 11, season one of OG Charmed.
Yes. In this episode, this aired January 20th, 1999, and it's called The Feats of Clay, written by Constance M. Burge. In this episode, Phoebe's ex-boyfriend Clay shows up with this cursed Egyptian urn, and he wants Phoebe to help him out. Also in this episode, Prue's trying to save the auction house, as we know from the episode before, because the two owners, they were actually demons and they were casted away. And also in this episode, Piper's dealing with an employee who's just super clumsy around his ex, and he keeps dropping all the glass, and she's pretty much fed up with it. And she uses a spell to sort of boost his confidence, which kind of backfires in a sense. Also in this episode, I guess the relation to this episode, the OG and the Charmed reboot is, Clay goes to Egypt, he picks up this urn, and it's a cursed urn now. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much screwed in a sense. Same with Mr. Miranda, he went to Greece and he picked up this antique that ended up, this demon possessed him, and he has trapped souls in the antique. So
it does go along because they're both kind of ancient relics. One though was controlled by a woman,
yes,
who didn't she didn't possess people, but she would kill them.
Yeah.
And then now we have a demon who possesses, but it's still controlled by the possession of whatever, either of the two.
Exactly.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I love this episode.
Yeah, the episode was fun.
And it was cool seeing Phoebe's ex back in town.
Yeah.
They did have a lot of chemistry.
They did. And they're really cute together.
Phoebe's cute with anyone.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that. Let's get into our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So in the prediction for next week, we hear them a quote that says, "I'm afraid when Macy finds out what we did to bring her back from the dead, I'm afraid she'll never forgive us." What?
That was a shocker.
We thought she had some sort of Hades connection, but I did not really think that she died and came back.
Same. That's so crazy.
It's so it opens up a whole new basket of I don't know what.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen. But I think in my predictions that we will find out more about this. And I hope that Macy handles this with kind of that logical intuition as opposed to getting her emotions, because this is very serious. And it is, I think there could be some someone in the chat, I forget who it was saying maybe if she sleeps with Galvin that will start the curse.
Oh.
And everyone she's with will die. I think someone said that. I think there will be something though, because they're in witch history, usually most shows and mythology that has to do with witches, they have there's some sort of catch with virgin witches. So I'm curious, and they made it a point to make her virgin, so that has to play into the plot line.
True.
In regards to, I think next episode might be time for Mel to find out more about the Sarcana and for us to find out more about the Sarcana. I really want that. Mm-hmm. And we'll find out what happens with Harry. What do you think?
I think on Harry's part, I do believe we're going to see more of his life and that he's going to go after his son. That's what I'm predicting. But in a sense, I don't think he's going to leave them entirely. I think perhaps we're going to find out something that and no longer can Harry. I think Harry's just going to find that the Charmed Ones are is his priority.
He has to stay.
And he's going to stay. But also, perhaps his son has a whole different life and he's just, you know, he's doing good on his own. So I think that's really the only prediction I have on Harry's end. I do want to see more into the life of the Sarkanas and more of Jada and her backstory. And I'm really excited to see like Nico and more Mel's like interaction. Mm-hmm. And if, I don't know, if they'll ever get back together or something will slip. I'm not sure.
Yeah, me too. That would be super interesting. And shout out Boss at Home. She was, or he, not sure, like this episode, you could be fluid, we don't know, made the prediction about the witch and the whole virginity thing with Galvin playing out. So thank you for that. Awesome. You guys are so awesome in the chat. I want to do a few shout outs. Nas, Mark Ryans, Boss at Home, Trent King, Peyton 727. Who else? Kristen Carter. Gracian Ryan, Mark Ryans, you guys rock. Thank you guys for joining us in the chat. We will be back. I know that we are taking a short hiatus, but we will see you guys back when the show returns. Yes. Until next time, where can we find you?
Yes, guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kamisha Latour.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. Thanks again. Stay witchy, my friends.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.